We got the Bible, the new pulpit Bible. I wear out pulpit Bibles pretty fast. They don't last very long intact. And this is a really nice one. Matthew McWhorter got me this over the Christmas time. And I have it, and it's a blessing. I finally got it in. This will be the first time I will preach from the new pulpit Bible. And it says, presented Pastor Randy Bloom, Matthew Tyler McWhorter, Christmas 2023. And, you know, we started up our new scripture reading. I wonder, how many of you finished the year and you finished all your Bible reading? Raise your hand. Amen and amen. And, you know, we give you this out every year at the watch night service. And this one this year is Go Through God's Open Door in 2024, and we have the scripture reading schedule on it. You can also get it on the church app along with the devotional that I do that goes along with the morning reading for this year, Morning Manna, it's called, and that'll help you. And so we encourage you. How many are doing it for this year again? You recommitted. You're doing amen and amen. All right. Well, the rest of you get with it. And it's a blessing. And, you know, as I'm reading, sometimes I'll preach on something that relates to the reading. And Miss Alicia was telling me that, well, you preached on Matthew 13, and the reading was on Matthew 13. She said that was neat. It dovetailed. I didn't plan it that way. It didn't come out of the reading, but this message did. So please turn to Genesis 21. We're reading in Genesis, and this one comes right out of the reading. Genesis chapter 21. And so in this scripture for this evening, I want to go right to the key verse of the passage, which, if you look at Genesis 21, the key verse is in 18. So let's go there. It says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And what an encouragement this is. Here is a lady named Hagar. She's been cast out of Abraham's family. She doesn't have a family. She has a baby with no father to take care of the baby. And she's all alone. She's in a crisis because now the baby is a 16-year-old boy, but he is ready to die in the desert for lack of water, and he's weak from lack of food, and he's ready to die, and Hagar is at her wit's end, and this is God now speaking to her in verse 18, saying, "Arise, lift up the lad, and I will hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Now, I know this wilderness. My wife and I were there. We rode on camels there. We went to Abraham's tent there and got some nice food. But we know the wilderness. It's very scary to be there all alone and not to have but just maybe a little bit of water and a little bit of food, and it runs out. That's where Hagar was in this situation. And she Hagar, you would consider her an outcast. She was an outcast. Ishmael, her son, was an outcast. And here they are in this very difficult wilderness and no help. And God sees her and speaks to her and gives her as an outcast his help and tells Hagar to take care of this outcast because God will help her to take care of this outcast. What a blessing that is to us tonight as we go into the new year, because what I want to preach to you on tonight is champion the cause of the outcast. What Hagar did because God helped her to do it, I believe God wants you to do, he wants me to do, he wants our church to do, he wants our families to do if we have stable homes. He wants us to champion the cause of the outcast. We live in a broken society. We live with broken homes and broken lives. And God has blessed us to be able to champion the cause of the outcast, and I want to encourage you to do that tonight. And let me say three things about that. Actually, I'll get into four things tonight about that. But number one is by your comprehension of the outcast. And I'd like you to look with me at verses 9 and 10. I'll read it to comprehend the plight of the outcast. Look at verse 9 and 10 of 21 of Genesis. It says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." Now, keep in mind that Hagar and her son did not have a solid foundation. They did not really have a solid claim on Abraham to be in that home because of how it was all done in the first place. It was not done right. And Sarah herself was really responsible for it, but it was not done right. It was done wrongly. It was not done God's way. And so therefore, now they're about to be thrown out of the home with nothing. No inheritance, no money, no solid place. They have nothing, no father to raise this teenage boy anymore. They're going to lose it all, and that's the way it comes. And I think about the theme of our church. The theme of our church is building lives on solid foundations. And you know what? When you and I don't build our lives on solid foundations, don't be surprised if we have things taken away from us. In fact, there have been studies done that people that have children out of wedlock, they have children without a marriage, a solid marriage, those children over the course of their life, according to studies, will make far less money than children that come from a two-parent home. And I'm not talking about two homosexuals. I'm talking about a father and a mother. Amen. That's a solid home. And so what is the solid foundation? The solid foundation is the Bible. Somebody mentioned tonight about living their life, and I guess it was Diane, on the Bible, and how important that is for us. And you have the opportunity in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to do that. You see, you have that opportunity. You have an opportunity not only to have your life built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then to build your life on the Bible, but you have the opportunity to build a home upon that solid foundation if God so leads you. You have that opportunity, a marriage, a home. And so when you do that, it blesses the entire home and gives us a great place where we can raise children. You know, I thank God for giving me a wife and then a solid home and a family to raise children. I thank God for families in our church to have solid marriages and therefore a solid place to raise children. By the way, don't rush into a relationship and say, "I got to get a guy." Or I got, you know, that's what Hagar, she even thought she had a great guy, Abraham, but it wasn't her guy. And so it just didn't work out for her. I have seen so many people rush into relationships without counsel, without going and getting biblical counsel, and rush into that relationship and then live to regret it. And that's what we have here with poor Hagar. And now she becomes an outcast and has such a problem. And I have seen that so many times. I've seen so many ladies that have depended on a teenage boy and gotten pregnant because of a teenage boy. And then when the baby comes, there's no man there because that boy splits. And the father of that baby and the husband of that mother, that unwed mother, is Uncle Sam. You know, and the government, and relying on the government, and what a mess that is. And where did they get the money from? They get the money from taxpayers that have solid homes and have solid families, and you get this broken society. I remember one girl, a teen girl, she told me, she said, "My mother just keeps having more babies and more babies." I said, "Yeah, I hear you." And she said, "The reason why she does it," she said, "do you know why she does it?" And I said, "Well, why does she do it?" "She gets more money for every baby she has." And I thought to myself, what a crazy society that would incentivize having babies out of wedlock, which is fornication, and would incentivize that in the country. Our country is not being blessed because we have left our foundation. And God wants us to build our lives on a solid foundation so that we are not outcast from that which is good and great for God. And so I want you to see verse 11 through verse 13 and comprehending the cause of the outcast. Look at verse 11. It says, "And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." That is, Sarah told him, "You got to send her away. Hagar away. You got to send Ishmael away." It said it was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And then verse 13, "And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." Now I want to say something, that God's plan is to establish lives on solid foundations. God wants you to establish your life on the Bible and to read the Bible and to follow the Bible, the Word of God. And God wants you to establish your marriage on that and all your decisions. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path." God wants you to do that. But I want you to notice that in the book of Genesis, God gives us those foundations. And in the book of Genesis, God is establishing the nation of Israel. That's why God said to Abraham, go ahead and go along with what Sarah wants. Sarah, of course, she had selfish motives. But God had higher purposes, and he wanted to establish the covenant nation of Israel. And Hagar and Ishmael were not part of that. That was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 sons of Jacob, and that would establish the nation. Now, God wanted to establish the nation, but sometimes people get the idea that it's just the Jews that God loves and God cares for. No. God wanted to establish Israel so he could reach out to the whole wide world. Amen. Amen. And save the world. And that needs to be your foundation. But we need in this church, if we're going to be the outcast church, we need some middle class people. We need some rich people, and God will provide that. And I can remember Bishop Timlin when he and I got into it in the Scranton Times in the neighborhood section, and the reporter had Bishop Timlin say his thing and me my thing, and that made for good press, you know, a Baptist pastor and the Catholic bishop, you know, going at it. And I remember years ago that happening, and Bishop Timlin made this criticism of the church. He said, "This church, the Baptist church, they're just going after the poor." He said, "They've hoodwinked the poor. That's why they go after them." And you know what? Brother Hiles said years ago, and I was there at pastor school, he said he had to make a decision between the rich people and the bus kids, because they were running buses, and the rich people said, "These bus kids are messing up our church. They're messing up our building. We are sick and tired of these bus kids in here." And they said, "You have a choice to make, Pastor. Either you stop running buses and just care for the rich people in this church, or you're not going to have any offerings. We're all leaving." And they weren't kidding. And he had to make a decision. And he prayed all night in Chicago. And he was in front of a big hotel there in Chicago, and he was praying, the Hilton Hotel. He was praying, and finally, at the end of the night, he stood up and he said this famous words. He goes, he was on his face, he goes, "I'll take the bus, kids." And all the rich people left. And, you know, he kept that commitment. He never stopped that commitment. But I remember him saying, when we were there, he said, "You know what, though? You, some of you pastors, you need to have some people that are middle class people. You need to have some people that have a stable home, that have a stable marriage, that have a stable family, but they're willing to share it with others." And so he made a joke. He said, "I'll take the rich kids," or the rich people, you know. But what he meant by that was that God gives you, when you seek to champion the cause of the outcast, God gives you people that are stable. And so what he did here was he built a stable nation called Israel, but that nation was supposed to reach out to the outcast. And Israel often didn't do that. They became holier than thou. I've actually seen that in people's lives where they don't have anything and they get saved and God gives them a job and gives them money and teaches them how to manage money, like according to the principles of the Word of God. And God begins to bless them with money. And they give and give to the Lord's work, and he blesses them more, because you can't outgive God, can you? And so they do that, and they get blessed, and then they get a car, they get off of welfare, they get a home, they get all these blessings. Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he has no sorrow. And he often will do that. But then you know what they do? They'll leave a church that's reaching bus kids to find a church that's got more cool people. I hope there's nobody here tonight like that. Amen. That you're thinking of leaving the church to be with the cool people. And I don't have any secret word of that happening, but I just preach it the way I feel it from God. And I'm just saying it happens. And I'm saying tonight, I wouldn't want to be there. Because when you do that, when you leave that church that reaches the poor and has a burden for the poor, and you just want to be around, you know, people that have money and that have solid families and solid homes and everything going good, and that's the crowd you want to hang around with because it's a lot more fun, you know, to hang around with that crowd. You don't get embarrassed. That's fine. You can do that, but you're going to become a Laodicean Christian because of your attitude. And you're going to be miserable and poor and wretched because you don't have a burden to reach the outcast, and you're not doing anything. And so I'm glad I'm in this church. I'm glad that we have the ministry that we have. But I want you to see, to comprehend not only the cause of this crisis, but the crisis itself. Look at verse 14. I'll read it. You follow. It says in verse 14, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Can you imagine the pain that he must have felt to see that happening? Sending away his son, sending away Hagar into that vulnerable, into that situation. And verse 15 says, "And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs." Now you say, well, how could she cast a 16-year-old boy under a shrub to die? Isn't he as strong as a mother? I think he was being strong. I think he saw his mother and the frailty of his mother, and being a man, a young man, I think what he did was he gave her his food. That's what any young teenage guy should do. He gave his mother his food, and he gave his mother, I believe, his portion of water. And so it came to the point where he was now weak and he was ready to die, and he couldn't even stand up anymore. And she had to just kind of help him over, because she had enough food and water, and help him over and put him there. I'm just I'm just envisioning that's what happened there. And so there is the lad there. There's the teenage guy, and he's over there in that situation. And what a difficult situation it is. It's a terrible wilderness, and here they are in that situation. And you know, we have people that are in crisis situations, and they have needs. And I think about bus ministry. When you get out there in bus ministry, and Brother Bob said it one time, he said, what we have, and he was talking about as a bus ministry, what we have in bus ministry is not just to see them once and then leave them, but we come week after week. We have something for them. We help them. We work with them. Each bus captain's like a little pastor to them and helps them and works with them and cares for them. And listen, when you get involved in that way, you see the need of the outcast. You see the crises that are going on in people that are outside of our little bubble here and what's going on in their life. Some people don't want to do that, but I'll tell you what, I want to do it. I'm still doing it. I've been doing it for many years, and I'm still doing it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I want to get involved in the cause of the outcast. And so I'm thinking of a guy where a woman was going with a guy, and he broke up with her, she broke up with him, and then he got jealous, and so he took a Molotov cocktail, lit it on fire, threw it through a window, and boom, the house exploded, and her children were killed because of the vengeance of that guy. And we reached out and we ministered in that situation. I'm thinking of another guy. He was jilted by an outcast mother, unwed mother, had children. He got angry. He climbed up the house where she was living with the children, and he went through a bedroom window. He had a knife, and he took the knife out and started slitting the throats of the kids and killed the kids in that family. And we were working with that family. I'm thinking of another family on one of our bus routes, Brother Greg's route back in the day. And I remember getting involved with that family, and they came to our church. They came to our Christian school, some of the boys and the girl. And the girl was in our Christian school, and we worked with her. And then she left our Christian school, and she was living with a bus mother whose life was not solid, not stable. But she herself became a unwed mother, this girl, and was not doing well. And I remember her getting challenged to a fight with another girl, and she went out to fight that girl, and she was beating that girl in the fight because she was a good fighter. You know, she was a street girl, and she was a good fighter. But the other girl pulled the knife and cut her throat, and they let her lay right there and bleed out. I think they put her in front of a hospital and then let her bleed out, or it happened in front of her. But she never got in the hospital, never got any help. And I could go on and on. But I'm talking to you about crises, that people that don't have the Bible, they don't have the gospel, they don't have a solid home, they don't have a solid family. And the Lord gave me all these things, and I could sit up there and enjoy these things, but I don't. I come down to be involved in soul winning. I come down to be involved in bus ministry. And how about you in 2024? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause of the outcast? Can't you hear the cry of God telling Hagar, I hear you. I see you. I care. Do you comprehend it? You're not going to comprehend it unless you become a bus worker, unless you become involved in a soul-winning outreach and getting outside of yourself. And by the way, that'll make you stronger and more blessed for doing it. Champion the cause of the outcast by comprehending the cause of it. And number two, by God's compassion for the outcast. Look at verse 17, and I'll read it. It says, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." So God is saying, look, I made all the stars. I threw them up into the heaven. Do you know they're still giving stars names? I remember when Eric and Brooke, they were getting a new star and giving it. There's so many stars, they're not even named. There's so many stars. God is the God of the stars. But he's also the God of the broken heart. He sees the widow. He sees the outcast on her knees. To the outcast on her knees, he is the God who really sees El Shaddai. And he speaks to Hagar. And he wants to let Hagar know, I care for you, Hagar. I care for your son, outcast though you be. And he says, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. I've told you about a guy in our church. We grew, we started this church from nothing, and it grew to about 25 people. When it got to 25 people, one of the new converts said, hey, we're big enough now. We don't want to have anybody new in here. We have our little family, and everything is fine, and we don't want to add anybody else to it. Well, that wasn't the attitude of God here. He cared. Sarah didn't care. She just cared. I got my husband. I got my son now. And we're just going to have a great time. Send her away. And God let it happen. But Sarah, she didn't care. And you know what? That's the way a lot of born-again believers are. Like Sarah. I just don't care. As long as I got what I need, I just don't care. Well, God hears the cry of the outcast. You need to hear it. God cares, and God gives hope to the outcast. He does. He gives hope to the outcast. I think of our former pastor. He would say, hey, I don't really love people out here. Although my former pastor, my best friend in college, he led me into this ministry by getting me to get outside of myself. He led me into it. And you know what? He said to me, he said, look, I don't really love these people like I should. He said, but God loves them. Amen. And God loves them through me. Amen. I make myself available to God. And that's a continual thing that we must do on a daily basis. Paul said, I die daily. And that's the only way that you can champion the cause of the outcast. And he says here in verse 17, I like this. He says that he hath heard the voice of the outcast right where he is. He hears the voice. And I think of Brother Jack Hiles. He went up to Chicago and he drove through the ghettos of Chicago, and he began to cry when he saw the needs of people. And when he accepted the pastorate up there, it was because he saw the ghetto of Chicago, and he said, I've got to help these people. He had a stable church. He had a lot of families and people. But no, he couldn't. He heard the cry of the outcast. How about you? Do you have any kind of stirring in your heart for that? I remember that stirred me up to start a bus route, Brother Hiles. Stirred me up. And I started the A bus route. Started the B bus route. We had a C bus route. Couple different times. And I believe we need to get stirred up again to continue the A bus route, the B bus route, and to start a C bus route. But what are we going to need? We're going to need people that hear the cry. And they'll give the faith promise offering. And you'll be faithful. And not just say, I'm going to hoard this to myself. Or give your time and say, I'll give some time on a Thursday night, on a Saturday afternoon. I'll give my time to champion the cause of the outcast. And that's what we see here. the comprehension of the cause of the outcast, and then having compassion and hearing it, and then the command for the outcast. Look at verse 18, the first part of the verse. I'll read it. It says, God says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand." God said, just don't have a burden, but I want you now to follow my command. I want you to arise and lift up the lad and hold him in your hand. I believe it's time for some of us to arise and to get into the cause of the outcast and to become a bus worker, to help out on a Thursday night, to do something, beloved. You have been blessed. You've been given a stable life, built on a solid foundation. You've been given a home. Now, how about doing something? It's like the kid that when the offering plate was passed, he didn't have any money, but he put the plate down and he got in it. Some folks need to do that tonight. And to come and make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to get outside of my home and I'm going to go. I often wonder, Joe Slobodnik, he lives right there facing Elk Mountain and seeing that beautiful land and seeing that beautiful sight. And he comes down into Scranton. He comes down on a Saturday to go soul winning. He comes down on a Thursday night to go soul winning. And I'm just saying to actually obey God's command. And then I want to see the encouragement in verse 18, what he told Hagar. He said, "For I will make him a great nation." In other words, I'm going to bless him. And by the way, Ishmael got saved. Amen? Ishmael got saved. I'll tell you what, God doesn't just save the Jew. He saves the Gentile. He saves the Palestinian. When I was in Israel, with my wife, and we were eating at a restaurant across the street from the King David Hotel, and a beautiful Palestinian single girl, 21 years old, a waitress, she was waiting on us. And I engaged her in the two questions, and she was so interested and involved, I led her to the Lord. I was out with Miss Patty and Brother Steve celebrating a birthday dinner, went out to Italo's. Of course, that's where else is there? Italo's. And I said, where do you want to go? I said, Italo's. Take me to Italo's. They put the big sombrero on me and I had it on, you know. But anyway, we went there and we had dinner, and our waitress, very friendly girl, I'd met her before, 21 years old, and I thought she was Hispanic, but she said, "I am Jordanian, and I came from Jordan, and I'm Islamic." And she was talking about that. And I asked her the two spiritual questions. And she just kept saying, "Wow, he's good. He's good." Because I was talking to her, giving her the gospel, relating it to Islam. And she just kept saying, and by the time I was done, that 21-year-old Jordanian girl prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. Amen. And we're going to have an opportunity to follow her up. She talked about her coming, and when she first came over from Jordan, she couldn't speak English, and now she's working in a Mexican restaurant. But she just couldn't speak English, you know. And somebody picked her up with a bus and brought her to church. I got to figure out where that is. I'm not sure if it was ours or somebody else. But anyway, that was when she was 14. Now she's 21. I'm saying God has a command to us to get outside of ourselves and reach out to the outcast who need the gospel. Maybe they're Islamic. Like the sons of Ishmael, most of the sons of Ishmael are Islamic. But Ishmael was saved, and he went to heaven. And what a blessing it is, because it says in Genesis that Ishmael, when he died, he was gathered to his fathers. It says that Ishmael lived to be 137 years old. He gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. And that doesn't mean he was put in the grave. No, the angels come when you die and they bring you, if you're saved, to, in the Old Testament, to Abraham's bosom. That's where Ishmael went. He went to his father Abraham's bosom, gathered by the angels. I believe somewhere in here he got saved because Hagar got saved. And they got saved. And so God blessed. And I'm saying, if we're obedient to the command of God, we're going to see outcasts that the government just throws a little money at it, but doesn't care for it. And we can do that, and they can build their lives on solid foundation. And God says in verse 18, "For I will make him a great nation." And do you know what? This guy was a bus kid. And his wife was a bus kid, and now they have a stable home and family and are inside of this church. His sister was a bus kid, and now she's got a stable life built on the foundation of the Word of God and living for God. His sister-in-law was a bus kid, and now she's married to a pastor, and she's ready to have a baby in a stable home. Why? Because basically, his wife reached out to her, and we've been praying for her to come back to church, and she came back at just the right time as a teenager and got her life in the right direction. That is the vision. That is what God can do. Jesse Kresge's a deacon, and he has a stable marriage and home, and he was a bus kid, right? Living in a project in Taylor, and a kid that was dead end, but God gave him a schooling. God gave him a Christian school education. God gave him a job and a wife and a family. God is blessing our ministry. Yes. I remember Jack Hiles when he went to the ghettos of Chicago. I remember sending buses. He sent buses in there. And I ate at some good burrito restaurants because of that. I'm telling you, burritos like that. Chicago burritos, they're to die for, man. Aren't they good, Bob? It was Alamigos, yeah. But even better than Alamigos, I actually got my son-in-law, he used to be a bus captain in Chicago itself, and they have some even bigger than Alamigos. But anyway. What I'm saying to you is that Jack Hiles, he went into those ghettos, sent bus captains in there, bus workers in there, brought kids. They started a Spanish church, Brother Jose. They started a Spanish church. That church was running, well, I don't know what, Bob, do you know? A couple thousand or 1,500? So it was a big Spanish church. When my middle daughter, Mindy, was there, she got involved with that Spanish church. She used to go on their picnics and everything. Her friends were in the Spanish church. You know what happened to those Spanish people that were living in the ghettos in Chicago? And broken, you know, outcasts, not having stable homes and everything? Do you know what happened? They began to get saved. Then their parents got saved. And they started getting their own homes. And there was a whole Spanish middle class that grew up around First Baptist Church. Dr. Jack Howe, they had a whole socioeconomic change in their lives. I'm just saying, get the vision. God said, Hagar, arise, lift up the lad. I meant get him up. You know, he's weak. And get him up. And God showed him some water. God showed her water, and she got her boy over to the water. She gave him the water. You know what the water is, don't you? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can show people that. And if they get that water, suddenly he was able to function again. Her son was alive again. People that are half dead because their spirits are dead, you give them the gospel, you'll see them get saved. And we've seen bus kids get saved, and we've been able to help them and bless and get blessed by doing that. And let me just say this in closing: champion the cause of the outcast. Finally, by your continuing for the outcast, you're continuing for the outcast. Look at verse 20 and 21 in closing. It says, "And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You see, Hagar was able to give him the water of life that helped sustain him and then help him. So he got a job, he got a vocation, and then he got a family himself. I'm just saying to you that the best thing we can do for our nation is not vote, although we should vote and pray that it's proper, but build lives of outcasts on this foundation. And if you're here tonight and you don't want to be a loser, build your life on Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and then help others to do that and champion the cause of the outcast. That's my vision for 2024. That's what I want to do, and I want to challenge you to do it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about championing